Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Drew. 35, 30.
Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And we welcome you to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you. We'll be with you for the next 60 minutes as we break down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. We'll get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. You can also chime in via Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. So before we look ahead to the Buffalo Bills, Jeff, Tom Coughlin is addressing the media right now.
Well, what?
And he did mention
Can we go live there? We're not capable of that yet.
We're not capable of doing that. Yet.
That's right. We're just Big Blue Kickoff.
Exactly.
We're not ESPN. That's
we'll
all right.
Translate what Tom Coughlin said, essentially.
Yeah.
Coughlin did mention Victor Cruz worked out on the side today, but the big test is ultimately going to be Wednesday. They are hopeful that he will return to practice for the first time since mid-August, and right now there is an optimistic feeling that he could very well get out on the field Sunday.
Well, I think that the protocol is just, you know, they're just easing him back, and today's Monday, which typically on a work week for any NFL team is a light day coming off of a game. Now, obviously, these guys came off of a game on Thursday. They had the weekend off. And, you know, it's time to get not only Victor Cruz healthy, but a lot of the other guys, Eric Flowers and Robert Ayers and, you know, DRC. But for Victor, I think that Wednesday will be the day. They'll install on Wednesday, get the game plan for the Bills, and then you'll see and, of course, you'll hear when Victor Cruz gets back on that field in a full capacity mode, and that means in the huddle, breaking the huddle to the line of scrimmage and getting in his normal slot position and where they're going to play him. Because ultimately, in my opinion, this is a huge, huge asset for the Giants getting him back. Because, you know, this offense certainly over the last couple weeks has found that there's a missing component there. There's guys that have been dropping passes, Preston Parker getting cut, Larry Donnell having the, the drop season, and now Reuben Randall coming out party. So all this collectively together, getting him back in the lineup, certainly is going to be an asset for the Giants offense. And the Bills defense is going to have to come up with an idea of how they're going to now cover what could be three threats out there: Reuben Randall, Odell Beckham, and Victor Cruz.
Well, from an offensive standpoint, as you just mentioned, Jeff, it's nice to see the progression. Randall coming off by far his most impressive game. Then you throw Cruz in the mix, and Beckham's been fairly consistent since the start of the season.
He's going to, you know what Odell's going to do, and he's going to catch his passes. He's kind of like Antonio Brown and those guys. They're definitely going to say, hey, you're going to get your 8-9 catches. We just got to eliminate the big, big plays out of him. But, you know, Reuben Randall certainly came back last week and proved to everybody that that he can still play and his tendonitis in his knees is doing better. But it really tells you that the Giants needed someone like him to step up in that game last week, and certainly he did. He definitely did that.
You mentioned that there's a few other players that missed Thursday's game. Tom Coughlin mentioned DRC was back at practice.
Good.
O.O. Digizua was back at practice, as well as Robert Ayers. He felt that all three of them look good for the most part, but the true test is going to be Wednesday, as you mentioned, when they actually start focusing on the Buffalo Bills, because the Monday after a Thursday game tends to be a rather light practice. You're just trying to get your legs back underneath you, regroup after a long weekend in which the players had off. But Wednesday is when you really start to shift gear and focus on the Buffalo Bills and go a little bit harder at practice.
Yeah, and they're on to Buffalo. They're certainly going over what the game plan, what they need to do, because they've had the extra days to prepare for it. So, the Friday after the game last week, there wasn't a lot of, on Buffalo. It was more corrections from the Washington game. And, of course, in the weekend they had off. So now they come in Monday and they're doing a little bit of install. But, you know, Wednesday practice is the time when typically the install goes in, the meetings in the morning, the guys go in, they get their game plans, they go over everything, and that's offense, defense, and special teams. Then they go out on the field and put it in. I'm interested to see, you know, we all can't get so excited that Victor Cruz is coming back and expect him to go out there and play 70 plays on offense, because the guy hasn't played football in a long time. So you look at kind of what John Beeson did last week coming back into the lineup, you know, only playing 28 plays, but you know, you're going to have to kind of ease him in there, because it's very difficult for somebody to come in and play an NFL football game at a level that you want him to play when he hasn't really been practicing. Yeah, he's been running, he's been doing that kind of stuff on the bike, but that's certainly not football shape, and it's going to take him a couple weeks to get his legs back underneath him, and his particularly his knee and his calf. I don't think the knee is the problem.
It's
the
calf.
It's the calf, and that's you know, those can be tricky, because those guys, they put a lot of pressure on their calves and running, and they have to be very and Victor even said it. I read an article. He said, I had to be sure that I was 100% when I come back, so that I know that when I have to push off or I have to make cuts, that I'm not going to have to worry about re-injuring the calf or the knee for say, but understanding in his own mindset that I am 100% healthy and I'm going to go out there and give it 100%.
And you don't want to overcompensate, Jeff, because remember, Nat Burhe dealt with a calf injury,
yeah,
too. He came back and wound up re-aggravating it. So they have experience within the team to say, okay, this is how we need to address Victor Cruz's injury. The last thing you want to do is have him come back and not be 100% and get another injury.
It could be very detrimental, because you know, you build up to this, and then you insert him into the game, and you certainly don't want to have something happen where now all of a sudden you take a step back for 3 or 4 weeks again. So very cautiously going to inject him into the game and in practice this week.
Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to play for free today. Before we get to your phone calls and your tweets, just real quickly, Jeff, they are looking ahead to the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo had an impressive victory over the Dolphins in Miami yesterday.
Yep.
Three takeaways, very opportunistic. Preston Brown specifically had two interceptions. Tyrod Taylor threw three touchdowns. You know, this is a team that doesn't look great right now on paper from a defensive standpoint, Jeff, but I think you have to sort of separate the Patriots' performance, in which Tom Brady and company threw for nearly 500 yards against them, to the performances against Indianapolis and Miami yesterday, where you got a better idea of what this defense is capable of.
Well, they're capable of making plays, and they're capable of getting pressure on the quarterback. When you see the interceptions that are coming out of these games, it tells you that they get after you up front. They put pressure on you. They've got good cornerbacks and good safeties, and this defense is built around that defensive line. And then you bring Rex Ryan into the mix, and then he puts his stamp on that defense, and surely they wreak havoc all over the field. For the Giants, they're going to have to understand where the pressure is coming from, because Rex Ryan consistently has a game plan for each team. He's going to have one for Eli Manning and that group, and that offensive line is going to have to play together and understand where all the pressure is coming from, because it comes from everywhere.
Well, I think you hit it right on the nose, Jeff. This is a huge test for the Giants offensive line, because even though the Bills may not get a sack all the time, they're still going to get those quarterback hits. They're going to bring pressure from a variety of different angles. I think that they've gotten very creative with Rex Ryan's arrival. Dennis Thurman, who was with him with the Jets, is now their defensive coordinator, and we saw the way they attacked Ryan Tannehill. They did it from everywhere. It wasn't just one particular spot.
And you look at, you know, from top to bottom, that defense for the Buffalo Bills, they've got talent over there. So, and you know, coming into the season, everybody was talking about that defense, even coming out of last season, how good it was. So understanding Rex Ryan's philosophy and how they do things is going to be important to that offensive line, and communicating and being able to you know, understand where they're at and how and what they're presenting in front of you. And you know, these guys, the offensive line, got to study film. They're going to have to understand, because listen, you can't come into every single game and change everything. There's going to be a lot of consistencies to what they do as far as pressure, but a lot of times you just don't know where it's going to be coming from.
Now, from an offensive standpoint, Buffalo has run the football quite effectively.
Very
and
good.
It's not necessarily LeSean McCoy, Jim.
No.
It's actually their rookie Carlos Williams out of Florida State.
Yeah, and I you know, you got this guy, Carlos Williams, coming in there, and just they're number one in the league, I believe, in rushing now. So that's just what I saw on the internet.
That's what
here.
Happens when the Giants take care of business against the Redskins.
Exactly. So
it
shows you that the Giants can defend the run like they did against Washington last week. So now they're going to have to do it again this week. And LeSean McCoy, you don't know the health of him. He played a little bit. He didn't do very well last week with his hamstring, and it sounds to me like this is one of those injuries, a lot like Odell Beckham's a couple last year, where you know they're playing him, where it might be good to just sit him for 2 or 3 weeks to let him come back. And then you got Carlos Williams, who's just taken over for him and doing a nice job. But that offensive line, They're gonna, you know, they got a young quarterback who's not making a lot of mistakes. He's throwing over 70% of his passes. He's playing with a lot of confidence. But one thing that you can do on a young guy, a young quarterback, is is get pressure on him and somehow try to create mismatches from the defensive side of it to confuse him and try to force him into mistakes.
Though he is a mobile quarterback compared to some of the other guys that the Giants have gone up against, so he's comfortable getting out of the pocket and running for the first down or so if need be.
And, you know, you look at the three quarterbacks that the Giants have played the last 3 weeks, and neither of them other than Romo, but he's kind of, you know, he's really has not done that in the past year or so, is getting out of the pocket and making plays with his legs unless he has to. Taylor can. And so this defense is going to now, for the first time this year, is going to have to face a quarterback that is mobile and has the ability to get outside the pocket and make things happen, which then becomes very more imperative that the defense is disciplined on what they're doing.
One notable injury out of the Bills game yesterday, Sammy Watkins left the game with a calf injury, so that is one injury to certainly keep close tabs on as we make our way towards Sunday. All right, let's open up the phone lines here at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. Maurice is in Montclair. He gets us going on a Monday. Maurice, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
Very good. Maurice. How are you, Maurice? What's up?
I'm doing pretty well. Listen, I was thinking about the game, and I believe, as all Giants fans should believe, that we're going to win. But we're going to need all hands on deck.
Yep.
And that's Ruben Randle. You're going to have Cruz whenever he's involved. And you guys mentioned a good point about bringing Victor back and kind of sprinkling him in. So my question for y'all this morning is, fact or fiction, Shane Vereen, for us to win, will have to have 40 or more receiving yards. Fact or fiction, and I'll take your answers off the air. Thank you, guys.
Well, that's an easy one for me. That's fact. And I'll tell you, because of the pressure that the defense brings for the Buffalo Bills, I think you're going to look at a lot of just quick passes, you know, and they're going to get him involved in that offense. And, you know,
Dave, we got the dial tone going on there.
Hello.
Appreciate it. You can just bring down the perfect.
There we go.
Thanks.
But I think they have to get him involved, and 40 yards passing out of Vereen isn't a low number in my mind, but they certainly have to get him active, because this defense, like we've talked about, is going to be coming from all over the place, and Eli's going to have to check down to these or even have some planned passes for him on little dump off passes here and let him make his plays. I also think that this offense has to take a little bit out of what the Atlanta Falcons and the Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys tried to do against the defense of the Giants. You know, Spagnuolo's he hasn't done a lot of it, but typically, you know, he likes to pressure. And so these offenses have gone up against the Giants defense with this little dink and dunk game planning. Don't be surprised if you see the Giants take a page out of that and start to dink and dunk a lot of the passes this week. Just get the ball in Odell Beckham's hands, get the ball in Vereen's hands, and make them make their plays outside.
And using Vereen as a receiver, Jeff, is a way to slow down the pass rush.
There's no
because
question.
Because now Buffalo can't bring everybody towards Manning if they have to account for the flat and everybody else around there.
And that's a good point. And the other thing you can think about is if Victor Cruz is in the lineup and Odell Beckham and Randle and Vereen, that defense for the Bills is going to have to understand that you can't bring everybody. They're going to have to cover some of these guys. So that will take a little bit of the pressure off of that offensive line and the types of pressure packages that the Bills will bring.
And Vereen has been fairly consistent in terms of the receiving game. If you look at the last few games, you know, he's gotten at least four receptions. He's been
last week he was down a little
receiving.
Bit.
A little bit down, correct.
And, you know, he dropped a pass. Okay, he dropped a pass. All right, you know, the guy has great hands. And but I think that he's a pro's pro. He'll bounce back from that. And you can see now as we start to go into the first quarter of the season here why it was so important for the Giants to go out and get someone like him. You can see how valuable they looked at him and said, we can plug him into this offense. And a lot like what the New England Patriots did with him up there. So just, you know, he's an outstanding player. He's a smart guy. He's a tough guy. And he certainly gets a lot of yards after the catch, which is good.
Absolutely. Let's head back to the lines. Emilio is in West Palm Beach. Emilio, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Hey, Jeff. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I forget. Is it Lance or?
Yes, you got it.
You got it right this time.
Compared to some previous callers, you're in good shape, Emilio. We give you some kudos for that. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys, especially Jeff, all those clutch kicks. And Jeff, I'm glad I got the chance to talk to you when I last talked to you with Anita. How I told you I thought that defense was coming on. And You know, I think New England, speaking of Buffalo, has given us the blueprint, you know, because you live by the blitz, die by the blitz.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, they gave us a blueprint to take Buffalo down. And I think we can do it. You know, I really do. And especially with Victor Cruz coming back, you know, I think that's going to be a key ingredient. And Unga is just off the hook, you know, the way he's playing.
Yeah, he is a young – I mean, he is really coming into his own. And we've mentioned it before on our program here is that he's just will continue to get better. You know, he's such a young guy. And now that he's learning – firsthand, they just threw him to the wolves here. Get in the game and play, man. And now that John Beeson is coming back, they still find a way to get him in the game like they did last week. So as John gets healthier in each game, they're still going to have to find a way to have him in the ball game somehow in some way, because he got another interception, which he's got two on the season. So the young kid is doing well.
Also, Wynn was key, and I think Reynolds played a really good game as well.
Well, Kerry Wynn to me is so underrated, and I think that coming out, if he continues to do what he's been doing for the remainder of the season, he will no longer be underrated next year, because the guy can defend the run. And Lance and I, we talked about in the pregame show that, you know, because of Robert Ayers being out of the lineup last week, it gave an opportunity for Kerry Wynn to get in there and play the run, and he did an exceptional job. He had an outstanding game last week.
Got a nice play in the backfield to slow down the Redskins.
Absolutely.
And finally, my question is, how would you – I think that we, you know, we should feature that West Coast offense, and how can we take advantage of the fact that, you know, Rex Ryan is going to be blitzing all day? That was my question, and I'll listen to you guys.
Well, I think we kind of touched on it earlier, Lance, was that they got to find a way to get the ball out of there quickly. And when you have, you know, three or four guys that can be successful in the quick passing game, and the guys that we mentioned, Victor Cruz and Reuben Randall and Odell and Vereen, that get the tight ends in the mix there, that's how you're going to have to do it. And it's going to be up to the offensive lineman to understand where the pressure's coming from. Eli's going to have to also, when he gets up to the line of scrimmage, and call the protections right, and everything's going to be on all cylinders there. If it's clicking, like Emilio said, you got to take a little blueprint out of what the New England Patriots did to the Bills. Of course, take some of it, not all of it, but, you know, that's just the way this game works. I mean, you look and see what happened to one team and how they beat them. Look at what happened when the Giants played Dallas. What did Atlanta do the next week? They came out and did the exact same thing.
Passes to the running backs.
And, you know, so it works. And they'll have to take little pieces of that game plan and insert it into this game plan this week.
Well, and if you look at New England, based on what the other caller was alluding to, they have Julian Edelman out of the slot,
yep,
and they have Deion Lewis, who's emerged not just as a running back, but a guy that can catch balls out of the backfield. So
there you go.
Now you try to apply it to the Giants. Okay, Victor Cruz comes back. You use him out of the slot. Shane Vereen. These are the types of ways you slow down that Buffalo pass rush. And what I noticed yesterday, you know, Ryan Tannehill was trying to go for the home run more often than not, Jeff.
Sure.
So when you don't have those intermediate targets,
right,
obviously you're handing the Bills pass rush opportunities.
There's no question. When you're in those deep drops and trying to get down the field, the quarterback's got to have a little bit more time. The other thing about this is that if you can establish the running game right off the bat, that's going to keep the defense honest, whether they're blitzing or not. And if you can get it going, and the Giants have been able to run the football as of late. I mean, they're not running for a great average per carry, but they're up there close to 100 yards a game. That can do well for your offense.
They're sticking to the run. They're not abandoning the run.
They're committed to the run.
That's
exactly
the big positive. You're right. The numbers don't jump off the page, but they're coming off a game in which they ran the ball 31 times. And
sure,
you want to see that regardless of game flow. And these are the top two rushing defenses, actually, between the Bills and the Giants. It'll be interesting
how much
space either team has to work
with. Yeah, and I think that, you know, when we get into kind of, you know, breaking down the Giants and how they can win this game, it certainly points towards finishing. And we talked about it last week and the week before. This team has got to learn how to finish games, and they're still not there. And part of finishing games is running the football effectively. So this team has to understand that when they get into the fourth quarter, especially the second half of the fourth quarter, that they really need to run the football and get into those manageable second and third downs, so that if they have to do a little play action, that they can, you know, they can dink and dunk their way for a first down and control the clock. And especially when they're going on the road, that's so important.
Jeff is in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's happening?
What's up, Jeff?
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
Very good, man.
Doing well, Jeff. What's happening?
Yeah, Lance, as you know, one of my my biggest pet peeves with the Giants is the running game and being able to pound the ball on the ground successfully when you need to. And that hasn't happened this year yet. Overall, I'd say the run in the game has been rather abysmal, in my opinion. The other night, I wasn't able to get through the other day, but we saw one really, really nice screen pass to Jennings the other night. I'd like to see more of that. And also, I didn't see much of Vereen coming out of the backfield to catch the ball, so I think we'll be seeing more of that as well. However, I think once Victor gets back and gets in a groove and starts firing on all cylinders, that obviously is going to help the offense tremendously. And if we get some extended drives going, that'll help the defense as well, keeping them off the field so they don't get blown out by the end of the second half. And I guess the other thing I wanted to mention was, the lack of pressure on the opposing quarterbacks, and obviously that has to improve a great deal. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble for the rest of the year. So
yes.
Maybe you could address a couple of those points, Jeff. And please tell me why these guys cannot run block. I'm just not getting that, okay? So I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thanks,
right,
guys, and have a good day.
Appreciate the call.
Well, that's one question that has been reiterated week in and week out, is the pressure on the quarterback. We're all trying to figure out why. Why is this not happening? And I don't have the answer. It baffles me that that this team, the way that they bring personnel in and out and all over the place, that they still continuously cannot get pressure on the quarterback. Now, when you go against really good teams, I think up to this point, the Giants have not played a really good team yet. The Cowboys, they were pretty good, but they had the Giants had them beat. And without even getting any pressure on the quarterback. I mean, Tony Romo had all the time in the world. When you start to go up against a good quarterback, this is going to come back to haunt you, like you said. I think the running game will come. I think that as soon as this offensive line, it gets to play together. I mean, Flowers has been out of the lineup now 1.5 games. You've got guys switching positions again. And so that has to be a consistent. And the line has got to start to play together and execute the game plan. And as far as the other question, what was one other one he had? I'm not sure exactly what it was, but
two things were the pressure on the quarterback and the ability to run the football
and the running game. They have the power runner in Andre Williams. You saw how he can run people over if he needs to. And this kid ran for over 2,000 yards in college 1 year, so he's capable of doing it. It's just getting everything all on all cylinders. Victor Cruz to me, when he's healthy. He's the legitimate slot receiver. There's not another guy on this team that plays the slot position like him. He understands that position so well, and so does Eli. And so him and Eli understand, they're on the same page on a lot of reads that they got to do, and they played together for so long. And now you got Odell Beckham and Eli kind of hitting on these cylinders, and you got Reuben Randall now starting to do things. It can be pretty exciting if you're a Giants fan, knowing that this is going to happen sooner or later.
The more weapons with track records that you have on the
experience
field changes the dynamics of the opposing defense.
Sure.
That's why having him on the field is so important. Regardless of the numbers, Jeff, it's not so much the numbers. His presence, now all of a sudden Buffalo has to say to itself, well, where do we focus on the field right now? Beckham, Cruz, we have to at least –
Or do I really want to send this corner blitz? That's what's so important about having those receivers that we've talked about coming into the season. We all said that, hey, if you get those three guys in the lineup, pick your poison if you're the opposing defense.
One thing I'll add in terms of perhaps the lack of the pass rush, missing Ayers the last game certainly hurt. I mean, he's been arguably one of the most consistent defensive linemen, Jeff, on this team.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at what he was doing last year before he got hurt, and then, of course, what he's done the last couple games. He's, in my opinion right now, is by far the best pass rusher the Giants have. And, the other young guys are continuing to get better. But he certainly is the leader of that group, and he's got to play. And I think it was really close last week as far as him coming and playing in the game. They just felt that, you know, that he couldn't go, and now he's get this 10 days off before the next game, so it will help him a lot.
Now, the good news is Tom Coughlin earlier today did say Ayers look good. The real test, though, is going to come Wednesday once they start practicing for the Buffalo Bills. All right, let's head back to the phone lines at 201-939-4513. James usually calls from Ecuador. He's apparently in Ohio today. James, what's happening?
Yeah, hi, Lance and Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
Not a problem.
Hey, you guys are really bordering on what I wanted to talk about, and that was basically the run game.
We're mind readers.
I see Victor Cruz as the key to getting the run game going.
Absolutely.
And not only that, but also the fullback. I think this. I think you're going to have the Victor Cruz will be occupying the line.
All right, James, we're going to have to put you on hold here. You're very choppy. We'll see if maybe we can get a better connection. We apologize for that.
He must have had a cell phone from Ecuador.
Yes, it sounded more like the Morse code going on between James. I mean, he was talking about some of the things we got into in terms of Victor Cruz's presence. You know, we're talking about how Buffalo's going to play the receivers, but you're right. Now perhaps you open up more opportunities on the ground as well.
Spread it out a little bit, you know. Don't get as many guys inside in the box. And I'll tell you, you know, Whitlock is the guy. You know, we're all, like, sitting there when he made the team thinking, like, wow, this is kind of a shock. But when you look at what he's done, what he plays, I mean, the guy's playing both ways, special teams.
He had a nice spin move, by the way.
I mean, it's just it's great to see. And I know that if when you have him in as that lead blocker and behind those other guys running the football, it can be well. And, you know, it all opens it up, Lance, with him coming back. Everybody's got to start to think about what can happen. But I throw caution to the wind about, you know, how much we can expect out of Victor Cruz just because he's coming back for this game. We have to be a little bit reluctant to think he's going to go the whole game and every single play. So let's ease him back in there a little bit. But certainly it can help the game plan tremendously.
So the first step is to get him on the practice field Wednesday. Yeah. That builds confidence, and then obviously that first game out there just to get a feel for real speed and real experience in the NFL.
For him, yeah. I mean, he's got to get it back. He's got to get that game speed back. Right now, everything's like 70% out there on the practice field. But when you get on game day on Sunday, they're flying around, man, and it's warp speed. He's got to get up to it.
All right, let's head back to the line. Shakes is in Baltimore. Shakes, what's happening?
Hi, Shakes.
What's going on, Jeff? What's going on, Lance?
Doing well, Shakes. What's happening with you?
I'm good. Listen, a few things I wanted to talk about. As far as Cruz, now, I think it's going to be like a little disconnect between him and Eli because they ain't been passing to each other for so long. I know they had little reps in camp, but I think it's going to be a little disconnect, but I don't think it's going to be much. I think Cruz is going to come back and still have a significant impact because of the short intermediate passes. Once you get the ball in his hands, we all know Cruz can make it dance, boy. So, you know, I know Cruz is going to have a good game this Sunday. As well, I wanted to talk about the pass rush. Now, you said you ain't got the answers, Jeff. like Kanye said to Sway.
Do you?
You got the answers.
You have the answers?
Well, Shakes always has
the answers.
I
think my thing is this. I think that we are not quick off the snap.
Mm-hmm.
Our defensive ends are not quick off the snap, which keeps the offensive linemen off balance. So when they're not quick off the snap, it gets the old linemen time to get their stance together. So it's harder.
Yep.
That's why I love the guys that came out this year, like the Vic Beasleys and all those guys, because they quick off the snap. They can get you, Randy Gregory, all those guys. So,
well, we have two guys. In my opinion, you have two guys that are the quickest off the snap, and one of them just has one rush, and that's DeMontre Moore. He's definitely quick enough. He's just going to have to develop into, you know, a different type of pass rusher. The other one is Owa. I mean, Double O, he's got some speed, but, you know, he's been hurt. So
that's my next question was, is he going to play this Sunday? And if he is, I think the way to beat these Bills is that we got to beat up Tyrod Taylor. Like, you remember that one year, and I believe you was on this team, Jeff, but it was when we had OC and all of those, Tuck, everybody, I believe Strahan was probably still there, too. I'm not sure. But We beat up Michael Vick that one year. I mean, we beat him up. And after the game, he commended us, and he said how much, you know, his body was aching. He had to get in the ice joint. And that's how we got to do with Tyrod Taylor. We have to beat him up, get in his head, and force him to force turnovers. Once we get in his head, he's still young. He's a four-year pro, but he's still young. This is his, what, third,
this is his first year starting.
But you gotta be careful about, you know, pinning your ears back and getting all, you know, you go after this guy because he's, you know, he'll break the pocket and make plays on his legs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you gotta have a lot of interior pressure with a lot of stunts. Try to get some things done in the middle because those outside guys, if you can get to them, go get them. If not, but you gotta be disciplined not to let him get out of that pocket and then start running crazy on you.
And Shakes, not to dismiss the pass rush. I mean, clearly that is still a focus and an entity that the Giants want to improve on. But, you know, as Jeff and I mentioned off the top of the show, let's not overlook the fact that the Giants are a top two team in the NFL in stopping the run.
Mm-hmm.
Something
yep.
that was completely reversed last season.
No question.
And you stop the run, you take away those options on the ground, you put additional pressure on the quarterback, even if you're not hitting him all the time. And that's what you want to do against Tyrod Taylor. Make him throw the ball 35 to 40 times on Sunday and not be able to rely on LeSean McCoy and Carlos Williams.
And he's got three interceptions on the season, so you know he'll turn it over on you.
Yes, sir. And these linebackers going to have to play big because once he scrambles, we need them to chase him down. So
yeah, be well disciplined.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right, Shakes. Take care, buddy.
Sounds good. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants chat. We'll get to some of your tweets. And actually, speaking of tweets, somebody's interested in a special teams question here. Johnny
at JP Head in
123. He wants to know your thoughts on Brad Wing thus far, who's looked very good.
Well, I've been asked that quite a bit, and I tell you, I'm excited about it. I think that he's doing everything that the team wanted him to do when they brought him in to replace Steve. And he's been very effective. He had a ball down inside the 5-yard line the other day. He's got minimal returns against him, which means that he's actually hitting the ball with distance and hang time and putting it in the areas that they want him to kick in. You know, it's not hard. I mean, what I'm saying is it's hard to put the ball where you want it sometimes, but if you do that, then your punt coverage team, it's not hard for them. They know where the ball's going. They got good hang time on the ball. So I think he's up and coming. He's a young kid, obviously, but from what I've been told and what I've been seeing in practice and in the games, the guy's got a good head on his shoulders. He's a worker. He's wanting to get better all the time, and I think you'll definitely see him come through in the clutch. And it doesn't seem to me like nothing bothers him. And that's good. I mean, the other day, I will give you a little bit of insight. I won't get too deep on this, but the fact is these Australian rules guys, you know, they come over from Australia where all they did was play Australian rules football. And in Australian rules football, you actually pass the football by kicking. And that's how you pass it. You kick. And so when you turn to pass, you use your foot. And so directional kicking for these guys is not that difficult. And also, they use that end-over-end kick. That's their bread and butter. So what happens in games when you're backed up and there's a lot of pressure on you, these Australian guys will go back to their bread and butter. They'll hit that Australian rules kick end-over-end, even backed up. You see it all the time when they're trying to down the ball inside the 20 and the guy that kicked that reverse. They'll do it in the open field now just because they feel more comfortable with it. And that's what Brad Wing did last week. At the end of the game, he had a pressure punt there where the Redskins were all full-out blitz. You know, they were coming 10 guys after him, and I saw that end-over-end kick, and I just thought to myself, there's the bread and butter for that kid,
he's
and
like
he did well.
He's back in
exactly,
Australia,
exactly.
Those
so that's the answer to the special teams Twitter question right there.
There you go. And special teams, for the most part, just like stopping the run, another area where we've seen some strides in terms of Harris's returns. He had a block punt by Rashad Jennings.
And then they gave up the long kickoff return, which
down,
really
right?
hurt them.
Yeah.
But the special teams unit as a whole, I believe, is much improved, just like that defense, rushing defense for the Giants. And in this game particularly, I think special teams and field position could come into play because with this defense that the Buffalo Bills has, you got to play the field position game here and try to, you know, you got to get the ball out and your return team's got to get the ball out because, you know, this defense for the Bills, I don't know what their third down conversion rate is on the season, but – usually when you have a good defense, your third down conversion rates are pretty good. This is the Giants one.
No, that's from
the
stats. I'll look that up, though, in terms of
but,
those third
downs. So field position in a game like this could be key. And, you know, Dwayne Harris has a chance to continue to do what he's been doing, and he's done a nice job on the punt returns.
Let's see. Buffalo third down, 41%, 16th in the NFL.
Okay, so they're right about in the middle, but anything, you know, 40 to 50% is good. But, yeah, so field position, special teams.
We want to remind fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it is changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Let's head back to the phone lines at 201-939-4513. Mark is in Maryland. Mark, what's happening?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's happening, Lance? You guys are doing a good job. Kudos to the Giants win. We needed that, like I said before when I called last week. In order to win in the NFL, you got to score over 20 points. You got to be able to score 20. We ain't playing peewee football. The other, my question is, I know that when Victor Cruz come back, like the other caller said, there's going to be a little, you know, rust there, which he's going to have to, you know, knock off, shake off. But my my concern is how durable is Victor Cruz going to be throughout the whole season, you know, with his with that injury, or if he gets injured again, re-injured.
Well, that's nobody can tell that, but I think it's, you know, when you talk about an injury and bringing a guy back, it's managing the injury and being able to understand what the injury was and what he can and can't do on and off the field. So I think that you're going to see a little bit of what the Giants did with John Beeson last week, is just slowly indoctrinating him back into the lineup. And that's really kind of all you can do until he's the guy that's going to tell you, Hey guys, you know, my legs are just not there. And so he's the one that's going to be able to tell the medical staff and the coaches, you know, and they'll slowly get him a little bit more involved.
That's true. Yeah. But what do we know what really the injury was, or nobody's saying?
I just know it was his calf, maybe a pulled calf, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
I know is I saw a wrap on his calf. So that's all we know.
Well, as Jeff mentioned earlier, Mark, you know, everybody's focusing on the knee injury. He's recovered from the knee injury.
Yeah, that's
definitely.
It's the
calf injury that limited him since mid-August, and that's what they had to take their time with for him to fully get back to 100% before they put him back on the field. And, you know, you were asking, well, how do we know how much time he's going to see? That's more of a reason why you don't throw him out there and give him, let's say, 80-some-odd snaps in the first game back. You do it like they did with John Beeson, because Beeson and Unga, for the most part, alternated snaps on Thursday night.
Right.
And I can see them doing something similar with Victor Cruz on Sunday.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I just don't want him to go back in and then we lose him, you know.
Yeah, and I don't think he wants that either, and I don't think the Giants do. I'm just reading on Twitter here that Cruz said he ran about 20 routes today. So, and I was I was watching practice a little bit. He ran a couple routes, this and that. Then he went over on to the side of the field and was doing some rehab stuff. So that just goes to show me that they're slowly bringing him back. Even today's Monday.
Yeah.
He's going to play this week, right?
That's what he says.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
But a lot is going to tell on Wednesday. Remember, this was not your hardcore practice, Mark, here on Monday. So Wednesday, Thursday, those are the 2 days that I think are going to give us a better picture of where Victor Cruz is.
Is this going to be a home game or no?
No, they're on the road. They're in Buffalo this weekend.
Yeah, I won't see that one. When they come back home, I'll see that one. All right, then, cool. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. Let's head back to the lines. Rennell is in Chicago. Rennell, what's happening?
Hey, Rennell.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, Rennell. How's everything with you?
All right. Well, just to clear some things up, I'm TaylorMade CEO.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So you can make the connection there, because I always chime in.
So what do you got for us?
Oh, okay. I'm looking at y'all, so it's like a delay.
But, well, just listen through the phone. That makes it easy.
I commend the team on winning, number one. Number two is our pass rush is kind of weak, but we can kind of change things by stacking the line of scrimmage. You've got to stack the line of scrimmage every now and then just to throw the offense off, just to throw that young quarterback off. You just can't sit back in a prevent defense all the time. I know Fags is pretty good on defense. I know he's pretty smart, but he has to throw this young guy off. He has to get in his head mentally, send a blitz every now and then. Don't blitz crazy. No, don't blitz crazy. And watch the passes over the middle. We're really not getting beat down the side of the sideline. Maybe Julio Jones got away with one, but mainly we're getting beat over the middle. Jason Witten beat us over the middle. Those running backs beat us over the middle. We have to cover that better. And if we're gonna rush the quarterback, we gotta rush him from the outside and force him up the middle. That way, he won't have all of that feel to run all over the place.
That's definitely gonna be the game plan this week. You got to rush him from the outside and make sure if you can't get there, then you need to be disciplined to keep him in the pocket so that he doesn't run outside
exactly.
on you. Yep.
And, Rennell, you're right. For the most part, every team hasn't been looking to go deep on this Giants defense. It's been a lot of those short passes, dump-offs to the running back. So I'm sure Buffalo's been studying the film, seeing what the Dallas Cowboys did, the Falcons, and the Washington Redskins. So the Giants do need to be aware of what the running backs can do in open space, specifically even the tight end position. Charles Clay had a very productive game against the Dolphins yesterday, and that's been the one position where they've looked to attack this Giants defense in recent weeks.
Yeah, look at Jordan Reed last week.
Yeah, that's another one, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So we got to protect the middle of the field. I don't think we have to worry about Sammy Watkins this week. I think he's out. And I want to commend everybody. I think we got away with some things last week as far as, like, coverage with Landon going down into the end zone. That was a good way to turn around the last second. Oh, my goodness, I was scared. But he got away with it.
Yeah, he did. It was a little underthrown ball by Cousins.
I think we're going to do good this week. I think we're going to do good.
Listen, I said it before that, you know, winning cures a lot of things, and I think it does inject a little confidence into this locker room, knowing that, you know, they did win a game now, and they ended up, they didn't finish wholeheartedly, in my opinion. They still let these guys come back and score some points. But, you know, one of the earlier callers had mentioned that, you know, you got to score 20-something points. Well, this team is scoring enough. It's the defense that has to stop those drives. Last week the Redskins had 2 4-minute-plus drives in the fourth quarter. Those are the things you have to stop and get. You got to get a three and out somewhere in there, and that's one of the ingredients to finishing the games. And I think that, you know, it's going to come sooner or later when the Giants are going to be able to finish a game on a turnover. You know, a team will be driving down there for a drive to win the game, and this Giants defense is going to force a turnover. And I think that'll inject some confidence back into the defense. And so, you know, the game of football is tricky because, you know, they're so emotional on how, and it's so hard to win in the National Football League. But when you do win, it becomes contagious. And if you win another one, and particularly this game coming up this week on the road, if you can win on the road and in a tough atmosphere to play up there in Buffalo, those fans are crazy right now with what's going on. It would be a great win for this Giants. And the second thing is they get back to 2-2 and understand that this division, as we all thought was going to be, you know, we didn't think it was going to be like this. And so now you got the Cowboys sitting there at 2-1 and the rest of the division at 1-2. It certainly can anything can happen. And, you win this division, the way you can get into the playoffs is by winning the division. That's for sure. And the way this division is going, Lance, it surely doesn't look like there's going to be a wild card team coming out of this division.
Well,
so
there's not much separation between these teams right now. So it's basically the charge to the top of the NFC East standings.
Yeah.
Normally these teams beat each other up.
Right.
That tends to be the trend. So that's why the divisional games are so important. And you just want to stay as close to the pack as
possible.
Exactly.
And then as the season progresses and you get into that December run, you're hoping that your team is healthy and you're hoping with either you're on top or you're within striking distance of that division lead. And that's certainly a long ways away, but we can talk about it, but the players don't. But all we know is that Buffalo and the Giants will be playing up there in Orchard Park, which by the way, I tell you, is a great place to play football. I mean, there's nothing else going on up there, I can tell you that. But it's pretty historic, and the fans are great. And it's a great venue to play, even on the visiting team. It gets loud there, telling you.
It's nice to play football there, I'm sure, in early October, Jeff. I don't know if you'd be saying the same thing in early December.
Well, listen, I had a very bad experience up there in December. I had Steve Tasker decided to block a kick one time on me, and he catapulted me in the air, and I came straight down on my head for a concussion, cold. Did not finish the game. Randall Cunningham had to go in and finish the game. But, yeah, and that's when they had the old artificial turf there. It was like this, this table
like
here.
Rocks you played
yeah.
on.
But, it's not fun up there.
No.
In fact, the last time I played there was the game. I don't remember what year it was, but we got everything. It was sunny when we came out the pregame, It got dark and cloudy and rained, and then in the second half, in the fourth quarter, it started snowing. So we had everything.
Well, wasn't that the Bills game in
2007?
The one that Ahmad Bradshaw had the big game.
Yes, that was 07. So
get into the postseason.
Yeah, crazy game, and that was a huge game for us in that season. By the way, big time, big time.
Mother Nature showcased just about everything in that contest.
Oh, it was
the flakes
incredible.
Coming down at one point.
Unreal.
Unbelievable. All right, let's head back to the lines here. LaVon is in Atlanta. LaVon, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, Jeff and Lance?
Very good.
How's everything with you?
All right. We got a win. Was happy that we got that win. And, yeah, I mean, it was close, but that's just football. Every team gets breaks, and those games we lost, I mean, we could have easily won those games for a few breaks here and there. But I want to make a comment on Ruben Randle and Prince and the defense, and then I want to ask a question. It was good to see Ruben show up in that game. I think that was probably the biggest thing I took away from that. He finally either got healthy or they looked at him. And if we could get that from him, maybe not 7 catches for 116. But
well, let me chime in on that real quickly. I think they did look at him, and I think he did get healthy. I think he's feeling better. And, you know, it kind of goes to show you that, and I said this last week, Lance, is that, you know, where this team really had Preston Parker on the depth chart. They had him as the second receiver because they, you know, look at all the balls that he was getting. And then he leaves, and look what happens to Ruben Randle. He moves up into that second position, and now he's getting all these balls. So you hope that can continue.
And one thing I'll add before we let you continue, LaVon, and Ruben Randle was asked about this in the locker room, Jeff, and this is what you're alluding to. Eli seemed to target him early in that game. Got him involved, confidence built up, so therefore you saw him build upon that throughout the course of the game. That could help. You know, just a target or two early, hey, I make a catch, I know what I'm doing, I feel good about
myself. Listen, I have four boys, okay? And it's almost like childish when you ask me because it's like, oh, we're going to get you involved in the game early. In other words, we don't want you to take a nap. We're going to pump you with a bunch of sugar and you're going to stay up all day, you know? So here, we're going to get you some balls early just so you can stay awake and just see what you can do the rest of the game. Oh my goodness.
Keep you animated.
Yeah, exactly. So that's funny. Sorry. So what was your question?
Yeah, what
you
else
had?
You got, LaVon?
Yeah, I just want to say your Ruby played well. I loved watching Prince play like a true number one shutdown corner. He had the best game of the night with the interception and the forced fumble and the pass breakups. I really enjoyed watching him step up. And I'd like to say Dwayne Harris was money well spent. I know in the preseason everybody was complaining, but this is the best we've seen from a return man in a very, very long time on this team. And nobody's really mentioning that, but that was a real issue. Everybody was saying that's too much money to spend, but the guy he's put us in good field position consistently on his returns, and he's a solid investment. But my question is a little left field, but it's a personal one for me. I don't like Brandon Merriweather on this team. I think he's a poor tackler. I said it the last time I called. I really would like to see Cooper Taylor get a chance to play and see what he can do. And I'll hang up and listen to you guys on that.
Well, all right, Levon, thanks for the call.
Well, obviously, we're not seeing something that the coaching staff is because Cooper Taylor has been inactive for two to three games, and you don't see him out there when all of a sudden we saw him out there in the whole preseason running first team with, you know, Monday. I mean, it was just depending on who was there. And the thing about it is that, you know, Brandon Merriweather is no longer that all-pro, you know, safety that you're going to see, but – you know, he's played pretty consistently this year, and I don't think he's doing anything to hurt himself. But you know, it's just I don't know what the deal is with Cooper Taylor and that what happened there. So.
And Taylor was active for the first time this season, but he mainly played on
special teams
against the Redskins on Thursday night. And Merriweather did make that play against the Cowboys when he forced the fumble on Devin Street. But you know, outside of that, you know, they're trying to really get a feel for everybody, I still think, on the back end of this defense.
I think when you talk about Dwayne Harris, too, you know, you pay him all this money to come in here, and you're not only paying him to play special teams, but – you know, he's a quality receiver, too. So, I mean, you get a little bit of bang for your buck here because I think that's why they gave him a little bit more money than you thought he was maybe deserving for. But the fact is he can make plays on special teams, and he's a viable receiver, too. So you put those two together, and you get a player like him who can add a lot to both offense and special teams. And you're right. It's very comforting to know that now that we have a guy back there, the Giants do, that can have somebody – have a big impact on special teams in the return game because he certainly can. He's going to make things happen.
Change his field position.
And this is, this is the week to do it. You need that field position.
Let's head back to the lines. Charlie is in Portland, Maine. Charlie, what's happening?
What's up, Charlie?
Jeff. Hi, Lance. Talks a lot. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right, Charlie. Well, you talk a lot, too, the last time I checked. Let's see what you have to offer us today.
I know. I say that with respect.
Yes. Okay. How
with
lovely.
Total respect.
Nice. Well, now that we're done buttering each other up, now we can get to the point at hand.
Yeah, right?
Yes. I let me just say one thing. This is not a good matchup for this team, for the Giants.
All right.
For our team. And the reason why I say that is we never, ever do very well with a running quarterback.
I agree.
We always have problems. Hopefully our linebacking crew is a little faster this year. So maybe they'll spy and they'll have a spy on them, but I just that doesn't look good. And then on the offensive side of the ball, Shady McCoy always kills us. When he was with Philly, he always killed us. So we got to deal with him. And then our offensive line. Our offensive line is going to have a real, real test this week. And we're weak on the right side. I mean, Newhouse is the weak link.
He's played well this year. He's played well this year.
Yeah, he has, but he also, had Eli, caused Eli to fumble the ball when we were driving for a win, and that lost the game for us. But anyway, we're going to find out how good this offensive line really is, because we're going to be really, really tested with the blitzes, with whatever Ryan throws at us. So we're going to see how really good. And I hope they don't play Flowers unless he's like 99% healthy, because they'll be running by him if he's got a really bad ankle. So, and the other one other thing I want to say, can we end the Dinnell experiment at tight end? He is not a tight end. He can't block. He's too bulked up. He's like a Purdue chicken. It's all upper, and he falls over.
Why's it got to be a Purdue chicken?
Well, because
what is that, your sponsor
steroids
now for these phone calls?
But not to say he's on steroids. But what I'm saying is they should make him into a plaques, like a plaques wide receiver. He's a tall, wide receiver. Let him lose 30 pounds. Put him out there as a wide receiver, because that's what he is. I don't understand why they keep trying to make this guy into a tight end when he's not a tight end.
Well, they certainly have given him enough chances, that's for sure. I mean, you kind of see the good things about him, and then there's, the bad things about him. And, I just don't understand why he continues to try to he's always jumping, I mean, it's just,
would he grow up in a circus?
I don't know, but
was he an acrobat?
I can't remember who said it, but I would like to give him credit for it. But he said the last time when Larry Donnell jumped in the game, it looked like he was jumping into a swimming pool. So maybe that's where he was lived by a pool all his life. He's just constantly jumping. I don't know. But
It's interesting, because he was actually a quarterback before he transformed to tight end. So you're not really jumping much when you're a quarterback. If you played another position before you went to tight end that was a receiver or running back, maybe you're leaping over guys. I can understand that. He was a quarterback, though. That doesn't really call for much jumping or leaping if you're trying to make a comparison from that standpoint.
Unless he was a running quarterback, which I doubt he was, being that big. So
They should make him watch film on Bravaro, on Gronk, and show them how you stay on your feet and you knock people over, if he could start doing that. He's just like, he's almost like, he's like a klutz. I mean, does he bump into things when he walks into the
some new material today,
Charlie. We'll go ahead and go check the closed circuit TVs and make sure that they got the Dinnell cam going. Should we put put those little things on his head? What are they called?
The GoPros?
There you go.
I don't know. I really think he's a wide receiver, and they should make him a wide receiver. Maybe they can.
Well, he needs to hold on to the ball, whether he's a wide receiver or he's a tight end,
Charlie, it really comes down to consistency, and Larry Dinnell will be the first one to say he's trying to be a more consistent player, because you mentioned about the run blocking, and I know this is one play and you want to see more of this, but against the Dallas Cowboys, he had a big block on a Rashad Jennings run on that last drive when they were moving the ball initially before they got to the red zone. So we've seen him flash before. The goal is you just want him to build off of that. That's the key.
Lance, if you give a chimpanzee a typewriter, you give it to him all day, he will end up spelling a word.
But what is up with all the circus comparisons today?
We got chickens and chimpanzees.
Chimpanzees.
Are you sure this isn't
the
Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey call-in show here?
Did you go to the circus up in Maine this weekend, Charlie? Did we miss something? Or did you go to clown school maybe yourself?
Yeah.
Maybe that was it.
All right, guys. It
all right, Charlie.
Sounds good. I hope we win. We'll be 2-2, and that is all good. So, and one thing.
Oh, boy.
You
here we go.
Need a pass rusher. Bring JPP back. Let's see what he can do. He is the best pass rusher, and he's sitting in
it's
Florida.
It's not that they don't want to bring him back. It's he just can't come back right now, you know?
He's ready. He's ready to go.
Oh, I don't know, man.
They don't want to pay him. They want to wait.
I don't agree with that.
I don't think that has any.
I think money has nothing to do with it here. I think they have the money. The money's set away.
Doing it.
No, come on. Listen, if he was ready to play, they would have brought him back already. They need him. They're not going to sit there and lie. Well, you know, listen, they have the money set aside. They have it there. It's there. It's ready for him. But they just,
said they were going to take a look at him after 6 weeks. I think they should take a look at him after 4 weeks and bring him back and see what he can do and just do this, get it done, pay him something.
All right, Charlie.
We need a pass rusher.
Dr. Charlie, thank you.
We'll have to hook up the cameras to about every single player because the way Charlie talks is if we need, updates on their whereabouts and so forth.
We always like him calling in.
He
kind of makes our day.
We need some comic relief here and there. Let's close out the program with a few tweets here, especially a lot of people weighing in on matching up with the Buffalo Bills. Clearly a lot of people focusing on the fact that the Giants need to stop the run. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Chris at DMAGIL01US, run defense is paramount. McCoy we know all too well, and Carlos Williams is the real deal. Now, a few people have weighed in on LeSean McCoy, and he does have a good track record against the Giants, but let's not forget, he's
hurt.
Still dealing with a hamstring injury.
Yeah, and it's also a completely different offense. LeSean McCoy just destroys the Giants whenever he played when he was in an Eagles uniform. I don't believe he's going to have much of a game coming in to this one because his hamstring is hurt. It sounded like from what I was reading today that he wants to sit out. I mean, he's saying, maybe I do need to take some weeks off. So, hopefully that happens. But the bottom line with here is Carlos Williams averaging 7.8 yards a carry. I'd be more worried about him than I would an injured LeSean McCoy from the running game. So, and Taylor can get it done too. But I think Taylor's primary goal and focus is not to run. They want him to be an efficient passer and manage the game and then have his legs there if he needs them. So, I mean, he's got close to 100 yards rushing on the season over three games. So, it's going to be discipline for this defense. And I think that Spags will have, certainly he must have a package or so for this guy. You have to, as a defensive coordinator in this league, you got to come up with something every single week. And for, he's a 4-year player, but he's still, like you said, Lance, he's still only been, this is his first year starting, so he's still young. And I think Spags is going to put something together good for him.
Yeah, he was backing up Joe Flacco prior to this season in Baltimore. Carlos Williams yesterday, 12 carries, 110 yards, over 9 yards per carry, also had a touchdown. And it seems as if he's their closer. McCoy, they'll work in early, Jeff, but if the game gets out of hand or perhaps they have somewhat of a cushion, they bring in Williams and
pound
he knows
him.
The clock.
Yep. And
that seems to be the
game plan. And he'll be able to get you those yards. And, any offense, I don't care if it's the Bills, the Giants, the Cowboys, if you can have a runner that can get you 4 or 5 yards a pop on first, second down, the play calling becomes very, very easy from that point of view because now your second and third are very manageable, second and two, second and three, or third and one. You can do anything from there. You can pass on there. You can run on it. It makes it a lot easier than third and 9 and third and 10.
Weighing in more on Twitter here, TaylorMade CEO at JackBoy7. I believe that was who called in earlier.
He wanted to make sure we knew
correct.
Who he was.
There we go. See, now we know the Twitter handle. We can associate the name and so forth. Weighing in on Larry Dinnell, and this is something that I emphasize, consistency. We've seen him make a great catch, then all of a sudden there could be a drop pass. You want to see him build upon one play and carry that out throughout the rest of the game. That's the key goal here.
It's a key goal in any position in the National Football League is consistency. If you're not consistent, you're not consistently going to have a job, and that's just the way it works. So, I'm just telling you the way it is that for someone that's been in and around it for so long is that I see guys that come in and they do things consistently, year in and year after, and then the next thing you know, they've had a nice career. And I've seen guys that inconsistently don't do it, and they're on the street looking for a job. So Coach Coughlin said it last week. I'll continue to say it again. One of the best quotes I've heard in a long, long time is that you have a job, now go do it. And it's a very simple quote from Coach Coughlin last week, and I think that it's very layered. And you look at that quote, and it says a lot. You have a job, now go do it. And that's it, exclamation point.
And another exclamation
yeah,
point.
That's it.
Let's throw out one more tweet here. Ben Gruen putting on his defensive coordinator hat, saying if the Giants continue to struggle getting pressure with four, could they throw in some 3-4 looks with Devon Kennard attacking from the edge? And they've actually brought Kennard down on the line. I know talking about a 3-4, but they have been a little creative with him.
Jim. A lot, and deservingly so, because he's gotten a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks, and I think that that's going to be a big part of this package this week with the Bills, is getting him involved and maybe having Unga and Beeson out there on the field at the same time.
With that being said, we want to remind fans, listeners, viewers, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to play for free today. Appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets. We will continue to preview the Buffalo Bills matchup the rest of the week as Big Blue Kickoff Live comes to you each and every weekday here at noon Eastern. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm
Lance
Meadow. You got it. We will speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Jackson on the field. He's got through. 35. 35.